Today is Daf Lamed Vav in the Masechta Nida. I do not have one big yesod to tell you, to teach, but I would want to go over a fascinating few lines of Gemara, the story. Stories are always good. And in this few lines of Gemara, I just want to point out how many major issues. There must be at least five, six major halakhic issues which find their source here in this little story that you would never imagine in the middle of the Masechta Nida on Daf, Lamed, Vav, Amid Beis. Let me read you the Gemara. First I'll read the Gemara and explain the Gemara very simply, and then we'll go over the Gemara again a second time, and I'll bring out, just to point out some of these very interesting ideas and issues that would appear in this sugya. So the Gemara tells a story about a person whose name was Shila Bar Avino Ovad Uvda Chavosei Deraf. There was a person whose name was Shila Bar Avino, and he followed the opinion of Rav. Rav taught a halacha with regard to a woman who sees blood, who gives birth, who's having a difficult labor during her Yimei Ziva. Now, this goes back in time of ancient times, Ham Chazal, where there was Yimei Nida and Yimei Ziva. Zman Hazeh, this is not halacha l'maisa, because Zman Hazeh, when a woman sees blood, any even the smallest amount of blood, automatically she's a Zava Gedoyla. Automatically she has to count 7 clean days. From the time of Gemara, during the first time a woman sees blood, she's Tumeah for 7 days. And then, when she sees blood after those 7 days, she enters into an 11-day period where she's not Tmeah for 7 days. If she sees blood one day, she's Shemeres Yoyim Kinega Yom. To make a long story short, the woman was a Nida, she's pregnant, and she's towards the end of her pregnancy, and she then saw blood, so she became a Nida, and the Yimei Nida passed, 7 days passed, and now she is holding during the 11 days of Ziva, and she is having labor pains. And during the labor part of the contractions, the labor pains, it causes her to see blood. And the question is, what's her status? She is during these 11 days of Ziva, under normal circumstances, seeing blood during the 11 days of Ziva make her into a Shomeres Yoyim Kineged Yom. She is Tomei for basically 2 days. The day that she sees blood and the following day, she has to observe a clean day. That would normally be the halacha during the 11 days of Ziva. If she sees blood one day, she's Tomei that day, and the following day she's also, so to speak, Tomei. She has to observe a clean day. But there is an additional factor, there's a complication. The reason why she is seeing this blood is due to her labor pains. She is having contractions. So maybe the blood is not called blood of Nida, the blood is blood Ziva, the blood is just blood of Tara. It's not going to cause her to become Tmeya. If she'll give birth, she'll be Tmeya later. But she's not giving birth now. She's going through a very long stretch of labor. So there's a very big question as to what her status is. It's not important to get into the details of what Rav said. Rav basically seems to say that she is Tmeya. She is Tmeya for one day. That is also part of one of the issues I want to bring out. But Rav basically seems to say that she is Tmeya for a single day and the next day. So Shila Bar Avino, Avad Uvdu Chavosei Deraf. So this individual, his name was Shila Bar Avino, he went and he just passed, there was a Maishai, a woman was pregnant, she saw blood, she's in need for 7 days, good, fine. Then she's having contractions on day 8, and she sees blood. What's the status? Is this blood of Ziva, and she's Temeah for 2 days, or no? It's nothing, ignore it. She's mutter to her husband immediately. So he paskin like Rav. Okay, fine. Fine, he was machmir. Seemingly he was, I don't know, machmir, but didn't see. Fine. Ki konoch nafshei derav. When Rav was about to die, Rav was down his deathbed. He's about to die. Amalei l'Rav Asi. he calls his loyal student, Rav Asi, and he says, Rav Asi, I want to tell you something. Zil tsane. Tsane is a difficult word to translate. Rashi here was part of the problem. We don't really know what this means. Rashi says, Haster oso davar. Lashav tsnius. Tsnius means privacy. Privacy. I want you, my student Rav Asi, to go to my other student Rav Shila Bar Avina and tell him, I changed my mind. I changed my mind. I decided all the years one way, Tmeya. I'm just using the words loosely. I want you, I'm not in contact with my student. If I had a cell phone, I would call him up and I would tell him, I changed my mind. But service is not, I've been drop call. Service is not working here in this area. And I changed my mind. What?
And I'm dying.
I'm not going to be able to tell him. So you do me a taiva and tell him, quiet. Sane tznius. I want you to retract. I'm retracting from my decision. I want you to retract from the decision. And he tells Rav Asi, I know that my other student, Shila Bar Avina, he's no easy guy to talk to. If he doesn't listen to you, V'loy tzoyis garye. I want you to garye. What does garye mean? So Rashi says, I want you to be moishich him. I want you to draw him in. Meaning, simply means, I want you to convince him with logical proofs that my original decision should not be followed, but follow the new decision of leniency, or that the woman is not tameya. Now the problem was, who sovar gadye? Now we're going to read the Gemara according to Rashi. Rav Asi was hard of hearing. I don't know if he was hard of hearing, but he didn't hear exactly what he said. He really said, according to our girsa, garye, with a resh, garye. But Rav Asi thought that he heard the Rebbe say, gadye, with a dalid, gadye. Gadye with a dalid means cut him off. Cut him off means don't speak to him nicely and persuade him with logic to retract. Go take the high road. Cut him off. Cut him off means take out a baseball bat, or in this context it means put him in shanta, put him in chayim, put him in chayim, go to Beis Din and make an announcement. No one should do business. No one should give an aliyah. Put him in shanta. Omarle, Vosar Omarle. So he went in. So who saw the Gadya Omarle? Period. Vosar Dinoch Nafshe. Indeed, Rav died. Amarle, he went to Rav Asi, went to Shila and said to him, Hadarbach, change your mind, Rav Shila, change your opinion. De Hadar Be Rav, because Rav changed his mind. Right before Rav died, Rav changed his mind. Amarle, I don't believe you. You liar. You would have called me. He has my number, store. I'm on speed dial. Amarle, in Isa, the Hadar Be, Lididi Havi Amarle. If he really changed his mind, he would have called me, would have told me. Lotsoyis, so he saw, as he saw that Rav Shila was not listening, Gadye. So he went to court and he put him in Shanta. He took extreme measures. He told the whole world that this person, Shila, is in Cherim, because he does not want to listen to the words of his Rebbe. Rav said to retract, he doesn't want to retract. Amarle, Rav Shila said, how dare you? How dare you put me in cherim? Loi mistape mar mid likta. You're not afraid of fire? Do you know who I am? I'm Rav Shila. I'm a Talmud Chacham. I'm a great man. If you cause me harm, you're going to suffer fire. There's going to be churban. It's going to come because you're playing around with greatness. Amarle. So he said to him, I'm just as great. I'm not afraid of your fire. I'm not afraid of your greatness, because I'm Rav Asi. And I'm just as great, and I have my own merits. And my own merits will protect me from any harm you want to bring upon me. Amalei, Ana Issi ben Yehuda. Do you know who I am? You think I'm afraid of you? I'm just as great. I'm Issi ben Yehuda. To who Issi ben Gur Aryeh? I have another name. My other name is Issi ben Gur Aryeh. I'm also to who Issi ben Gamliel. I'm also Issi ben Gamliel. To Issi ben Mahalalel. I'm another person. I have many names. I have five names. And Tayyus brings down even more names. I am Asida de Nechash de Nachsha. I am like a mortar of copper. Fire is impervious to fire. Nothing's going to happen to me. Amalei. So Sheila says back, Vano, I'm greater than you. Vano, Sheila Baravina, Buchla de Parzlam. Iron. You may be copper, but I'm iron. And iron is stronger than copper. I can bang on you and I can destroy you. The mitbar asita, the nechashta that can break and can destroy the mortar of this mill made from copper. Okay, fine. That was the story. What happened? Cholash of Asi, Rav Asi got sick. So it appears that the hakpada, he was hurt. Rav Shila was hurt that he was put in shanta, and being a victim of this shacherim had an effect on the one that put him in Chim Rav Asi, and Rav Asi got sick and was about to die. Cholash of Asi, Ailul b'chamimei, and they went, they tried to heal him, they put him in hot water, Afkua b'karide, and then hot, and then they put him in cold water, Ailua b'karide in cold water, think about it, the cold water, Afkua b'chamimei, and eventually, Noch Navshad, Rav Asi, after all the different attempts to cure him, going from hot to cold to hot, didn't work, he died. Rav Asi died seemingly because of the curse, because he offended, he was punished for putting in Shanta the very great Rav Shila, and it was a mistake.
But he was a messenger only.
He was not supposed to put him in Shanta. That was the mistake. What did Rav? Rav said Gari with the Resh, not with the Dal, so he had no right to put him in Shanta. Okay. And because he put him in Shanta, therefore he was upset. And because he was upset, so Rav Asi was punished. He got sick and eventually he died. So now when he saw, Shila saw that if Asi died, Amalei Shila, Azal Shila, so Shila was not happy. Shila was upset that he was the cause of the death of Rav Asi. So Azal Shila, Amalei Debisu, he told his wife, Savasli Zavdosa, prepare for me Tachrichin. I'm also going to die. Of Shila, the one who was put in Shanta, and because he was insulted, that caused Rav Asi to be punished by dying prematurely. Rav Shila said, I'm also going to die now, because I'm the cause of this person's death. He told his wife, prepare for me burial shrouds. I'm going to die. Zavdasa. Deloy lezel, because I want to die. I want to die now. Deloy lezel, v'lei molei l'rav, milei ilovei. That's just an incredible Gemara. Because what was he afraid about? Because he's saying, I want to die. I want to die because I'm afraid now that since the Rav Asi died, Rav Asi is going to go to the Olam HaElyon and he's going to meet Rav. And he's going to tell Rav Lashon Hara about me. Here am I saying, the Olam HaElyon is going to tell Rav that Rav Shila, you told me to tell, Rav told Rav Asi to tell, Rav instructed Rav Asi to tell Shila to Chav Charata. And Rav Shila refused to have Charata. Now Rav Asi died. So Rav Asi is going to go to Rav and say to Rav, you see, Shila's a bad Talmud. I told him what you said, and he didn't listen to me. He didn't listen. So I don't want him to get to Rav before... I don't want him to get there. I want to die, and I'll intercept him. I will intercept Rav Asi and make peace with him to prevent Rav Asi from going to Rav and telling him Lashon Hara. Unbelievable Gemara. The leis of leim leil rav milei the elevation. Not say anything bad about me. So tzvi se leis zavdasa. So his wife prepared for him tachnichin. Noch navshe the shila and shila then died. Taka shila died, and they took him out to be buried. They buried shila in the cemetery near in the vicinity of Rav Asi. Chazu de parcha osa mehai pur yolahai pur. And they noticed that the hadasim, they used to put hadasim on the graves, myrtles. And the myrtles were going, the wind was blowing the myrtle from one grave, the grave of Rav Shila, to the grave of Rav Asi, back and forth. And they saw that this was happening. Chaz de paracha also mehaypo yelahaypoya. Amri, they said, Shmamino of the rabbanon paisa. It must be that the two rabbis made peace among themselves. They made peace among themselves. That's why the myrtles are going from one to the other. That's a symbol that they made peace. Okay, that is the Gemara. Unbelievable Gemara. So, I mean, the Gemara itself is a fascinating Gemara. What does this Gemara mean now? And this Gemara, I just want to point out a whole number of incredible issues that, I mean, this is like a strange Gemara, right? Not your typical Gemara. And yet, this Gemara is the source of so many issues in Halach. Let's start the Gemara again very quickly, and I'll point that out as we go through some of the issues. First of all, let's start. Here we go. Shiva Avina of the Chavosei the Rav. He passed in like Rav. He konoch nafshe Rav Amule the Ravasi Ziltsani. So Rav told to his student Ravasi, go to Rav Shila and tell him Tsani. Keep it quiet. Now why? The Elohim, if not, so yes, Garye, I want you to, Garye means to draw him in. I want you to convince him. What's going on? So this is a very big issue among the Mefarshim. What was Rav's original halach? It's not clear if you have to go to the Gemara and you have to look in different Mefarshim, but simply, at face value, it would seem that Rav was machmir, and Besof Yomov he totally changed his mind and decided he wants to be lenient. I want to be lenient. I want to declare the woman, no more do I want to be machmir and treat this woman as a tameya. I want to be lenient, treat her as tahira. And I want you to tell my student, Rav Shila, he also should be lenient. And if he's not lenient, I want you to do everything you possibly can to convince him to change his mind. Why? Why would he care? The student is being machmir. Rav was machmir. He was machmir his whole life. Now when he's about to die, he wants to be lenient. Okay, I want to be lenient. But my student wants to be machmir. So let him be machmir.
But was he machmir only because Rav was machmir?
Yes.
He's Rav. So his Rav changes his mind.
But obviously this is a very big issue. Obviously there are two different sides. There are two different opinions in this matter as well. Why would Rav, even if Rav changed his mind, Rav lets it be known, my students, they don't want to be, generally speaking in halacha, we find, this is a general theme, if you want to be machmir, good, so what's so terrible to be machmir? You're not causing any harm when you're machmir.
But there's an example, Rabbi Lukstein said, he was a Talmud of Soloveitcher.
Yeah.
I remember a story he wrote.
Yeah.
About, there was a shot about the elevator in the building.
Okay.
So he was maker Rav Soloveitcher, I think. But Rav Soloveitcher said to him, you know, if you accept my kulos, you have to accept my chmir also. I mean, you can't go shopping around.
Okay, that's a separate issue. But over here, in this specific matter, why would it matter so much to Rav that a student is being machmir? That's shaima. So therefore, because of this question, you should know there are many mafarshim that learn more pum taker. It doesn't make sense. It cannot be that he had such a hakpar that a student should be machmir. Let him be machmir. If it was the other way around, that Rav was lenient his whole life, maybe there's another way to learn the Gemara. The other way to learn the Gemara is that Rav, his entire life, was lenient. And his students followed in this way, they were lenient. When Rav was about to die, Rav said, no.
Don't we have a rule? We always pass him like Rav in his shirt.
Right, but that's after we follow the halacha.
But he wanted to show him bias. Maybe we should have.
Okay, I'm coming. Well, dealing with Shalom bias, that's exactly what I want to bring out. But generally, between the halacha, there's a general assumption halacha that to be machmir is not such a terrible thing. And by default, because we do not know many things in our times, we have no choice but to be machmir. Halacha is halacha. So if the Pshat in the Gemara is that Rav was machmir, and then with Sofiyam of he would change his mind, he wants to be lenient, and now he has a student, the student is being machmir, so let the student be machmir. Well, the world wouldn't come to an end if the student is machmir. Because of this difficulty, there are those that want to learn Pshat in the Gemara the other way around. And you have to go through the Gemara above and go through what the case is, but they want to suggest that Rav originally was lenient, And now at the end of his life, he realized he made a mistake. It's not kedai to be lenient. There's more grounds to be machmir. And therefore, I don't want to be responsible for people doing the wrong thing and violating the laws of nida, violating the laws of zava. And therefore, it's critical that you convince my student, Rav Shila, that he should no longer continue being lenient. He should be machmir. That's a much more logical understanding why Rav would go and exert himself to tell Rav Asi to go to Rav Shila and convince him that he should not be lenient, he should be machmir, because we're dealing over here with serious matters. Okay, that's an answer. But if you learn the Gemara according to the original, the way we learned it originally, the question remains, why indeed would he be so machmir that he should convince his student to change his mind? And the answer to that question is that when you're dealing with the laws of Nida, specifically, this becomes out, you hear many stories, and there are many of you saw this in the following sound, when you're dealing with the laws of Nida, a Chumrah is not a Chumrah. Because when something is a Chumrah, and a woman is in Nida unnecessarily, that is a problem in Shalom Bayis, and that's a problem in Priya Urviya, having children. The chumras in the laws of Nida are not chumras. A chumra is a very big problem. And that's why specifically, it's unbelievable you saw it, if it was Stam Halach Hilcha Shabbos, are you allowed to use this type of, are you allowed to mix with a big spoon, a small, a thick mixture, a thin mixture? If it was that type of chumra, you want to be machmir. I changed my mind. I hold you can be lenient. You can mix the baby cereal with this formula. You can do it. He wants to be machmir. Be machmir, not my mind. The world's going to come to an end. So you'll be machmir. Adirabba, it's a good desire to be machmir. You'll find something else to eat. If there's a real emergency, don't worry. There's an emergency, they'll do what they need to do to solve the emergencies. The world's not going to come to an end. But when it comes to the laws of Nida, if you're going to declare a woman in Nida who's not really in Nida, and you're going to prohibit her to her husband, you're dealing with serious business. Unnecessary chumras, the laws of Nida, can result in a chorban, in a chorban of Shalom Bayis, and in the prevention of having children, and so on and so forth. And therefore, Rav, at the end of his life, went out of his way to tell his student, Rav Asi, I want you to go to Rav Shila and tell him to be makel in the laws of Hilchas Nida. I don't want there to be a problem in Shalom Bayis. This is a very interesting the concept which you see in the post when you read different stories of Hakpada. Let's say of Maros. Maros, they all these sort of different gedolim, they were very makbid to go tell to make sure instantly there should not be even the smallest delay in the modia, the people that are involved, that there is no problem. Okay, that's one interesting idea which is brought out in this Gemara.
Why did Rav wait so long?
Because he didn't change his mind until the very end. So then that's when it occurred to him, and then he exerted himself to be makel. It's the only time you find, not the only time, but it's unique in his desire to change the pain. That's one idea. Let's go further on the ground. Next idea is the mistake was between the Dalet and the Resh. Tosfos learns a little bit different. Tosfos says the mistake was, there are two different types of dalets. Another second issue I wanted to discuss. It says in the Chazal that a person should be marich on the dalet of Echad. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim Hashem, is Echad, is one. Dalet, all four corners of the earth, all over. Here, there, up, down. Right? Hashem is everywhere. You should be marich. Echad. How you marich?
I heard a touch. Because the Dalit with the Dagish is pronounced exactly. Da and the Da.
Exactly, right.
Without
very good. Baruch says, that's what Tosfos says. We do not say the Dalit today correctly. There are two types of Dalits. Beged Kosef. All the letters of Beged Kosef have, you can have a dot or without a dot. There's a base and a vase. There is a chof and a kaf. There is a saf and a taf. Well, part of this series of letters, there is a gimel with a dot. Yes. What is gimel? We don't pronounce this. And a lot of this is lost to us. Gimel. The real way to say gimel, when we say gimel, we are saying with a dot. Without a dot, it's gimel. Gimel. Gimel and gimel. Just like there is vays and bays, chaf and kaf, saf and taf.
Differentiate.
Could be. Rimmel and Gimel. What else? What is part of Beged Kosef? Is Fe and Pei. There's also Dalid and Dalid. Dalid. The. T-H. And that's why the Chazal say one should be Marech in the Dalid of Echad, which means it's not Echad with a dot in the Dalid, it's Echad. The Dalid is really a T-H. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Echad. So that was the mistake according to Tosfos. He told him, Zil Gavye, Gav, the T-H, Gavye. And he thought he heard Gadye with a dot. So the mistake between the Rebbe and the Talmud, between Rav and Rav Asi, was the dot. That was the mistake. He thought he said with a th, the, and that means Moshech, draw him in, persuade him with words. Don't lift a finger. Don't dare put him in Shanta. He misheard him. He thought that he said with a dot, Gadye. This is the second issue. Here you see, Feresh and Gemara, this theme of a difference between a Dalid and a Dalid, which is a Feresh and Chazal, to be Marech and Echad, which only can do if it's a TH, and that was all part of the mistake which caused this very great Churban. So let's go further in the Gemara. Boss the Nognav, Shahadabi, he told him to persuade him. So then he goes on to say, you're going to put me in Shanta? You know who I am? I'm Shila. I'm the great fire. If you put me in Shanta, you're going to suffer. So the Asi said, you're talking to me? You think I'm afraid of you? Ano Issi ben Yehuda. Duhu Issi ben Gur Aryeh. Duhu Issi ben Gamliel. Duhu Issi ben Mahalalel. Four names. What's going on over here? Issi ben Yehuda. Who's ben Gur Aryeh? Issi ben Gamliel. Issi ben Mahalalel. What's going on? First of all, there's a very nice start from the Ben Yehoyada. The other says that these names that we're referring to refers to all of his talents. Gur Aryeh is a term that's used by Chazal to refer to a Talmud Chacham. Bo Aryeh mi Bavel, a lion, the great lion. Agur means a young Talmud Chacham. It's a term that refers to a Talmud Chacham. The expression Issi ben Gamliel comes from the Lash of Goymel Chasodim Tovim. He perfected himself in Chesed. He was a big Baal Chesed, and Mahalalel means Halel Kel, give praise to Hashem. He perfected himself in Tfilah. So Issi was really saying to him, it wasn't that he had the different names. He was saying, I'm not afraid of you. I'm a Sholem. I'm a Sholem in Torah, Gur Aryeh. I'm a Sholem in Chesed. And I'm a Sholem Gamliel. I'm a Sholem in Tfilah, Mahalalel. Praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, I have nothing more to be afraid of. I'm a Sholem in these three midas. That's a very nice idea from the Ben Yehoyada. However, there's another idea, and before I should say this, is an incredible thing. Where do we ever find, you learn Talmud, everything we learn, Halacha L'maisa, comes from pretty much Talmud. Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Tosfos, way the Tosfos interprets the Gemara, Ruba de Ruba, that's what finds its way into Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, and so on and so forth. All halacha, the way we live, the code of law, all is derived, ruba de ruba, 99% from Talmud, Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Tosfos, a little bit of Rashi. Sometimes we pass them like Rashi also. Usually it's more likely than when it's Maholi's Rashi. Tosfos is the way Tosfos understands the Gemara. Tosfos is about 45 people. So it's a roi, 45 people against Rashi, so we end up taking the opinion of Tosfos. It's a majority of the Rishonim in their interpretation of the Gemara. Not to say that the other Mahalchim, the Sfar, the Mashnazim, and sometimes you find Machlokes, fine, okay, different opinions. But things that are not in the Gemara, you have Midrash. Ruba de Ruba, 99.99% of the time, you'll never pass in a halacha from a Midrash. The Midrashim were written at the same time as the Gemara. The Midrash were compiled, I shouldn't say were written, were compiled alongside the Talmud, maybe even a bit earlier than the Talmud. Midrashim, and the Midrashim have powerful things. L'chayr, many you can see halacha, there are seemingly inyanim of halacha in the Midrashim. But Ruba de Ruba, we stay away. It's not brought over into halacha, things that appear in Midrash. And certainly things that are very esoteric, are not halacha, zoyha. You don't pass in halacha, mazoyha. No such thing, no such thing. What about this thing called Gilgul Neshamas? A person dies, and then he comes back, reincarnation. So, you know, in certain places, you know, it's like Apikorsis even talk about. It could be, no one's denying that there's something to it. But we don't know what this means. Nitzaitz, the Shama. These are Nyani Kabbalah. It's something very stimulating. It's something very enjoyable. It's like Tiri Agada. But it's not something which is very practical and we can relate to in any shape or form, halacha lemaise. By Hasidim, they're more into it. I don't think anyone there will tell you that Yimamish can relate to it. You can really understand. It's something which is stimulating among Ashkenazim, Lishoilam. Really, you stay away from this because we don't know what these things mean, and especially you don't find this anywhere in the Talmud Bavli. This is Zohar. No one's denying that there's Emes, but it's not the Talmud Bavli. There's one exception. This Gemara is the exception, because many Mepharshim Rosh Hashanah the Gemara, don't you dare start up with me. Do you know who I am? I am Issi ben Yehuda. To who Issi ben Gur Aryeh? To who Issi ben Gamliel? To who Issi ben Mahalalel? I was all of these people. These people, according to some of the Mepharshim, these are real people. These are not just names. Multiple names of the same person. By the way, one Mepharshim is this inside. Why does he have so many names? Some say because it was time of Shmat. The garden was trying to kill him. Because Talmud Chacham, he had to run away, he had to change his name. He had to change his name multiple times. And each community, he was known by a different name because of a different chod, a different father, because of the tzara of running around to save, to spare his life, he had to change his names. But some of the Farshim and some of the Farshim, it's one person, he had many names, we're just describing his different attributes. But all the Farshim learned that he was multiple people. Multiple people in multiple lifetimes. And he's describing his lineage. You know who I am? In this lifetime, Mr. Yehuda. 70 years ago, I was him. 150 years ago, I was him. 200 years ago, I was him. 300 years ago, I was him. And all those people, go take out, go to the library, learn about them. Great people. So I've been around in this world already for 400 or 500 years. I'm a success story. Look what I've accomplished in this world. How dare you stop? So here is a fascinating, another interesting detail that comes out of this funny story is Divrei Agadah, but it is one of the very few veiled references in the Talmud Bavli to this very esoteric and mystical concept, which many people will tell you off the bat, it doesn't exist anywhere in Talmud Bavli. Doesn't exist, doesn't appear anywhere in Talmud. Not so pashut. You see over here a Gemara, which doesn't make any sense. It's hard to understand what it means. I'm this person, all these different names. You go and pashut. He ran around different countries every 5 years because the government was on his case. IRS was chasing him down. He had to change his name many, many times. But other Farsh learned Shah in the Gemara. He's saying, I was a Gilgal. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know how far you take it, but it's something which is very unique, very interesting about this Gemara. Okay, another interesting idea of this Gemara is he went and then when he told his wife, prepare for me tachlichim. So first Rav Asi died, and then Sheila saw, oh no, he's afraid he's going to go speak Lashon Hara on me to Rav. He told his wife, prepare for me tachlichim. This is a sugya of al tiftach pel. This Gemara site is a source for the sugya of al tiftach pel l'satan. A person is not allowed to say bad things, because by saying bad things, he can bring these things upon himself. So here, you can interpret the Gemara. There are many, many interpretations. But here, the issue does appear. He told his wife, prepare for me tachlichim. And then he died. So does that mean he wanted to die, and he brought upon his death by being pasach pel satan by having tachlichim? Or does it mean that, no, he has the power, dealing with very great Talmidei Chachamim, when they want to die, they die. They go out there on their terms. They leave the world on their terms when they want. But is it a prophecy? As he showed, there's a very big debate among the poskim if a person should even buy for himself a kever. Should buy a kever, should a person should appear tachlichim, all these things. And many of the Farshim say, yeah, they say that a person should do these things when he's healthy. Because then, if a person is not well, and then he prepares these things at a very late stage in the game.
It's getting ready.
So then it's already, you can accelerate. It's tiftach tel sata. But when a person is young and healthy, adraba, why should he put the burden upon other people? The expense, the burden, there's a lot of confusion. Adraba, it's a good thing to prepare. So I want to point out that issue. There's a very great debate in how far a person should go in preparing. Also, some, even though the altitude of a satan, those are stam narishkeit. But dealing with real tachlis, things that have a purpose of like these things, the tachnichin and the kvarin and all of these things, these are not necessarily things which are so outrageous that a person should indeed prepare himself early on. And this Gemara is cited as a source to understand exactly what he said and why he said at this point in time. One last thing, one very last, very interesting issue, which is Magel Lach L'Maisa, how they saw that they made peace among themselves, Rav Asi with Rav Shila, because the Hadassim were flying, the wind was blowing the Hadassim from one kever to the other kever. So we all have seen on different media outlets of putting wreaths of flowers upon graves. Is that permitted? They want, but are we Jews allowed to do this? Is this called chukos ha'amim? To put a wreath of flowers to come to a kever and to put flowers by the kever. Is there anything halachically wrong doing so? So many want to bring a rai from this gemara. The fact that we see here that the grave of the great Rabbanim, who's greater than Rav Asi and Rav Shila, they were hadassim. So hadassim are, you know, modern day flowers. So in those days they used hadassim. Today we use flowers. So you see that there's nothing wrong putting hadassim, it's a kavod for the nifter to put some type of thing which grows from the ground, which is pleasant, which they use hadassim. So today, to use flowers, there's nothing wrong putting the flowers on a kever. Others say there's no chukas amen. See a precedent for this. Others say no, there's a difference between hadassim and flowers. Only hadassim, even because first of all, hadassim produces a reach, it takes away ancient times, they have refrigeration, the whole different world in ancient times. And the Hadassim took away part of the Reich Ra, or Alpi Kabbalah, whenever this is symbolic, the Pasuk in Zechariah, V'enochi Omeid Bein HaHadassim. It referenced to Tzadikim. Tzadikim are compared to Hadassim. So only Hadassim, because Hadassim is a statement, this is a Tzadik. Flowers, roses. What do roses have to do with the Pasuk in Zechariah being a Tzadik? So some object. Different opinions. But here is the source. So in Sach HaKol we have, I think, five different major issues that come out of a Gemara out of nowhere. Number one, to the five issues. Number one is, when it comes to Hilchas Nida, who says a Chumrah is a Chorban? There's no Indian being Machan by Hilchas Nida. Number two, we have the idea of the Dalit, Valid and Dalit. Number three, we have this very interesting idea of Gilgul Neshamos. Number four, we have this idea of al tiftach pel satan. At tachrichin could be different than the rules of tiftach pel satan. Is it? Is it not? How do we understand the Gemara? Is it a good thing? Not a good thing? What exactly happened over here? And the last thing is flowers.
Do you bring therefore halacha? You bring hadassim to a kever? Hadassim.
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
You said that
tzadikim.
So at least that.